WGN's Julian Cruz is in Kenosha. Julian, this is John. You're on the air. I know you're busy up there. What's going on in Kenosha right now?
Well, John, the jury just came into the courtroom, and they're getting ready. The attorneys are getting ready to present opening arguments. So after a pretty rapid jury selection yesterday, they are ready to get started today.
I know there was some discussion about what language would be permitted. Is the camera in place? Do they need to move a chair out? People are able to watch this live today. I guess that's not unusual, or is it? Do you know, Julian?
Well, you know, this kind of wall-to-wall coverage, you typically don't see it, John, you know, unless you're covering one of these major cases, such as this case, the Kyle Rittenhouse case. So it's not that unusual. You see that just before they get underway. There was a discussion about a gun charge. Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyers are wanting to get that charge dropped. The judge did not agree to that. But there was some debate about that issue.
Yeah, right. And now the jury has been seated, right? Isn't it amazing? I know you just commented on this, but in one day's time, there are other cases high profile in America right now. They take 2 weeks to get a jury. This judge moves right along, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he pressed some of these jurors who expressed some opinions, wondering whether or not they would be able to be impartial. And this judge said from the very beginning, Judge Bruce Schroeder, he said that he wanted to seat a jury after a day. And it didn't seem possible, but he moved very quickly. They had 150 people summoned to the courthouse. The jury is 11 women, 9 men. They have 20 jurors. They'll all hear the case, and then the number gets cut down to 12 to reach a verdict. Only one person of color on the jury panel, as far as we know. So they've got the jury, and they're about to get underway here.
Julian Cruz from WGN. Okay, go listen in, watch what you need to do and report, and maybe we'll check with you later this week. Thank you, Julian.
All right, John, my pleasure.
Do not seek information regarding the public records of anyone involved in this case. Any information that you may obtain outside the courtroom.
This is the judge now giving instructions to the jury.
Relying on this information is unfair because the parties would not have the opportunity to refute.
Attorney Rich Lenkoff is going to be following these things as well. What are you thinking and hearing today, Rich?
I share your sentiment that this was pretty quick jury selection. Again, that was consistent with what we've heard from this judge. And in hearing his introduction yesterday, we knew that he is going to make a great effort to keep politics out of the courtroom. So I'm not surprised, given the high-profile nature of this case, about the speed by which he selected a jury.
He said that nobody can wear any article of clothing that depicts any partisanship for either side. So you can't say free Kyle or convict Kyle. Anything like that's not allowed, which I think is probably a good decision. And I know that they had hoped that they would find people who had never heard about the case at all. That's difficult to find in Kenosha, let alone in the United States. So then it's, well, okay, you could have known about this case, but can you render an impartial verdict? Is that the sort of, I don't know, decision that jurors often have to make? That is, they usually know about the case, but they, as long as they promise to give it a fair hearing, they can sit?
Yeah, that's the great mystery of jury trials, isn't it? Is whether, in fact, when someone takes that oath and promises to follow the judge's instruction, that they will not base their decision on any preconceived notions of guilt or innocence, whether they're actually doing that. I think human nature is such that it's almost impossible to really do that. But, you know, our system is such that you ask jurors to do the best they can and only weigh the evidence presented and not bring in any preconceived notions. So, you know, no one knows for sure, but that's what these 20 people have promised to do in this case.
I'm reading from Stacey St. Clair's writing in the morning paper. Another woman was dismissed from the jury after telling the defense, the attorneys that were questioning her, she could not be impartial because Rittenhouse brought an assault-style rifle to the protests. She said that she could not get past the issue, even if the teen hypothetically was legally allowed to carry the weapon. Of course, he wasn't. I don't think a weapon like that belongs in the general public, she said. So they kick her off. I guess they should be able to kick anybody off they want, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's kicking someone off for what's called cause, right? That's she has already told the judge and the parties that she's not able to make a decision impartially because of, you know, her feelings about this assault weapon. That's different from using peremptory challenges, John, which means that either side gets the right to kick anyone off for any reason they want, of course, absent the, you know, absent kicking them off for color or nationality or race or creed or gender or things like that. But what you are describing is someone who's being kicked off for cause.
One woman said she planned to host Thanksgiving dinner, another prospective juror this month, and she said she worries about how her relatives would react to the verdict. Another said it would cause problems in her marriage if the verdict did not reflect her husband's views. She said he already made up his mind, so she gets kicked off the jury panel as well.
Yeah, those are, you know, those are judgment calls by the judge. I mean, those aren't great reasons generally, right? I mean, every time you serve on a controversial case, there's going to be people close to you that maybe don't agree with how the case ends. That's generally not a great reason, but the judge, of course, has the discretion to kick people off or allow people off for those kind of reasons. But generally, you know, the judges have heard every excuse in the book, including, you know, it's going to be difficult around the Thanksgiving dinner if I serve on this jury. These are standard jury instructions, and, you know, you would hope that the jury is listening to them because they actually do make a lot of sense. But to your point, a lot of it gets lost on the jury. But what the judge is saying there, John, is that we don't expect jurors to be, you know, legal experts or arbiters of constitutional law. What we expect of them in our system is to employ reasonable everyday standards of what's right and wrong.
Rich Lankoff is a partner at Bryce Downey & Lankoff, and he's the co-host of Legal Face-Off here at WGNRadio.com. I'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks for your time, Rich.
Thank you, Joe.